Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you are here. And you have a destiny for us. You have a plan for us in that is, Lord. You have a plan for our lives, oh God. So, Father, I surrender your word to you, Lord. And we ask, oh God, that the Holy Spirit, which is in each one of our lives that know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, would rise up in our hearts today. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would rise up in our hearts, Lord. That it would rise up because we already have it, Lord. You've already given us your Spirit. You've baptized us in your Spirit, Lord. And I ask, oh Father, that all of us, oh God, would allow the freedom in our lives for the Spirit to move today. And for the rest of our lives, oh God, that we would serve in your Spirit. I pray for your word today. Amen. One of the things that I've been doing the last few weeks is just really spending time with the Lord. Bert and I went away for a week to just hear from God because my life has been turned upside down. It's not financial, it's not physical, it's not relational. It has been turned upside down by the Lord. Not something that I wanted, not something I even wanted to hear. I thought I understood what God had called me to do. I thought I knew where I was going and my life was mapped out. And about 5 weeks ago, every door that I could thought was of the Lord was closed, completely and utterly closed. And it left me, believe it or not, devastated. And I had to go and seek the Lord. I had to hear from the Lord. Because each one of us here, we live our lives in this world. And our lives are impacted by what is going on around it. I don't know anything about most of you. Some of you I know extremely well. But our lives suddenly sometimes can come just to an abruptness that we cannot see what God has for us. We cannot see what God is doing in our lives. And sometimes we need to step back and pause and go before the Lord and hear what he has to say. This is what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about not to neglect the destiny that God has for you. The destiny. One of the things I love about Sharon Kenny is this. She always says that God has called liberties to great unwashed. And I understand what she means here. And I think that when Vicky shared today about what was going on, about the Drimna lads coming, it reminded me actually of The Cross and Switchblade. When if you look at the movie, now I've looked at that movie 100 times when I worked in Teen Challenge, dragging it around and having to show it. It reminded me of what God did that time at the very beginning of Teen Challenge, how God moved on those unlikeliest people and gave them a destiny in him. And God has given each one of us a destiny or a plan, whatever you want to call it. God has a reason for you being in him. God has a reason for you being in liberties. God has a reason for liberties being here, being in Finglas. I mean, being in Finglas. Being in Clondalkin, being in Bray, God had a destiny, and that destiny is in Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit. Right through history, the devil has tried to thwart the destiny of God's people. He has told them that they are not capable. He has convinced them to sit down and be mediocre pew warmers. It's comfortable to just sit down. It is comfortable not to step out. It is comfortable not to be ridiculed for your faith and still not do anything wrong, but be just comfortable. And I don't believe that that's the destiny of you here, because God has spoken to me, and he has spoken to me about a few of you in here in what he has for you and the mighty destiny that he has for all of us. It's not just for a few the mightiness of what God has. It's for every one of us in here. As I was away over the week, I was watching these YouTube things on my telephone. It was the first time I ever used YouTube. Within 2 days, I was out of my limits. But anyway, I didn't realize it. But one of the things I was listening to was, have you ever heard of God's General series? That they do great people of God, just ordinary people, not the biblical people, but ordinary people like you and me. And they were telling the story of a woman called, and her name was, I'm going to give you the full name and then just call her Maria after that. Maria Woodward Etter. Has anybody ever heard of her? Yeah. Yeah, well done. You another woman would, at least. Well, believe it or not, she's known as the grandmother of Pentecostalism. She was known as the grandmother of Pentecostalism. And she was born not in 2000, not in this century, not in the last century, but the century before that, in 1845, this woman was born. She was born in a time where women did not preach, women did not stand out, women did what they were told, and they submitted, and they set on their gifts. No, I'm not going to do a women's lib feminist thing. I'm talking about the power of God in her life. This woman had 6 children, and 5 of them died before she got out of infancy. Her 6th child was actually killed in her early 20s, so was left completely and utterly childless. She was called to preach in her 20s, in an environment where women were not allowed to speak, but she would not give up. She kept knocking at the denomination that she chose to. And she kept saying, ordain me, license me to preach. I want to work for you. And they said, no, 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 no. And she said, but God has told me to speak, to go to the streets, to go to the hedgerows, to go everywhere and preach God's word. She told him, it was unbelievable. This woman, and she annoyed them so much that actually they did license her to preach. But what they said was, we'll send her to the worst place where all of the other men we have sent have failed. Said, we have sent our best students to this area and they have failed. And they sent her to a place called Devil's Glen. What? Isn't it? And she went out. Now, what she went out with from what the story is that she went out with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's something that God has really been convicting me over the last few weeks is, I have been praying for more of the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, mightily give me the gifts. Give me the gifts. Give me the gifts. And the Lord had to say to me, what? You've been baptized in the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the gifts in you, but you're sitting on them. And this woman understood, and she went out, and she preached in this area. And let me tell you what the locals did. She set up her tent, and the locals came while she was preaching and dropped the pegs, and the tent fell in. They emptied the pubs and brought every single drunk that they could and brought them into the service. Not for the drunks to come to the Lord, but to disrupt the meeting. When that didn't work, they went to the mental institutions and brought out the mentally ill and placed them in the meeting. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came, and they were healed, and they were delivered, and they were saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. This little woman, and during all of that time, her husband became unfaithful to her and ran off with another woman and left her. And what did she do? She ran back home, covered her head and said, oh, this is too hard, Lord. No, she stood and she understood the power of the Holy Spirit in her life and her relationship with Jesus Christ. And what she did is, before long, without these mics, she was preaching to 25,000, 30,000. There's a great story before I get into the word that I love, and Bert just laughs. I love this, but they brought in this heckler in the service. And this heckler was calling her, women don't preach. It's not biblical. Women don't preach. And he kept going on. And finally she said, I'm warning you now, you keep that up and God will deal with you. Of course, he didn't, and he kept on and on and on. And finally his tongue swelled and swelled and swelled and actually fell out, but swollen. And he runs home, and his family plead with him for 3 days and said, go back and make your peace. Go back and make your peace. And eventually he went back and she led him to the Lord. And his tongue was still in hand. This is the piece I love. The tongue was still hanging out. And he goes, so she smacked him in the mouth. And he was healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Bertha said, I said, see, there's godly women who smack people in the mouths, you know. But what is this all about? This is about your destiny in God. This is about your destiny in God. That's a powerful story, but that could be your story. That could be a liberty story. This is what it's about. And I want you to look at Joshua chapter 1. Just chapter 1, we'll talk about the story if you know it here. The book of Joshua is a very optimistic book. And if you're not aware of it, it is about the land. In the book of Joshua, God has said to Joshua, now you might be saying, oh, well, here we go. I can't compare my life to these godly, great men of God in the Bible. Well, Joshua was born a slave. He was born in Egypt, and he was born a slave. You don't get any lower than a slave. And he was born a slave. And he was raised up by God. The one thing that we know about Maria Etter is she moved in the Holy Spirit. In the book of Numbers 27, it tells us that God said to Moses, this boy, or this man, Joshua, has the Spirit in him. Now, that's unusual for the Old Testament. We're very familiar with it in the New Testament. And as Christians today, we're so used to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit just came on and off people. But this particular guy, he had the Spirit, and God mightily used him. He defended them. So when God said to him in the scriptures, he tells him that he's got to go and take the land of Canaan. Now, for those of us, just really quickly, Abraham was promised centuries before Joshua that God was going to give the Hebrews their own land where they could be safe. And Abraham lived on that and never saw it. And for centuries, they were promised this land. And 40 years before Joshua the first, what we're reading now is that Moses brought them out of Egypt and took them to the border of the land that God promised them. And they should have gone in, but they didn't. Moses sent in 12 spies to say, go and look through the land and tell us what we're going to deal with. And they came back after 40 days, and only 2 of the 12 said, we can take this land. We can take this land. We can do what God has told us to do. We can take this land. Caleb and Joshua. The other 10 said, no, we can't. It's too big. They're too forceful. They're people who worship other gods. No, we can't do this. They looked at the problems. They looked at the difficulties, and they saw themselves as a tiny little speck, and they saw the problems as massive mountains. Caleb and Joshua went in and saw God as the mountain, and he actually saw themselves, the Canaanites, as the sand, a speck of sand. And Israel, or the Hebrews, were not allowed to take the land for 40 years. God made them wander the desert for 40 years because of their unbelief. And we're at the point in Joshua 1 where the land is being said. They're sending him in to take the land. And my first point is, do you know your destiny? Joshua knew his because God told him, as we can see in the scriptures. He is told to go in and take the land. Do you know your destiny? Do you know what God has asked you to do? Do you know where God wants you? What God wants you to do? You don't have to be specific. He isn't calling you to Africa or Finglas or anything like that. He wants you to be able to listen to his voice and hear what he has for you. Because Joshua was unprepared. He was not born into stately. He was not born into military greatness. He was born into slavery and had to learn as he left Egypt all of the skills that he would need as he served the Lord. He learned on the job, as Noel early said, go to the children's clubs. Go to the homeless. Go out onto the streets. Don't wait until you're perfect. Go out and learn on the job. All you need is love for God. And God will give you a love for the people, I'm telling you. If you feel nothing for people, sit with them, have a cup of tea, and hear their hearts. And you will weep with them if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And this is what you need to know. That is your destiny. You need to know your destiny. Whatever God has called you to do, He will take care of you. We see that. We see that in Joshua. He had to come over many, many things. He was a man after God's heart. Do you know that he was the only one that was allowed to go up the mountain? Not all the way, but up the mountain with Moses. Do you know that? Everybody else was forbidden to even touch the mountain. And he was allowed to go up the mountain. Joshua. He had the Spirit. Do you imagine? Well, it wasn't Moses who said he had the Spirit. It was God who said he had the Spirit. Remember, the Comforter had not been sent until after Jesus returned to heaven. And he had that. He was living in a terrible time, and he loved his God. Do you know your destiny for your life? Do you know what God has called you to do? He's called you to love him and serve him. That is your destiny, to love him first, to love him, to seek after his face, to want to know that he is in control. I was speaking to somebody at the very beginning, sorry, can't remember your name, Stripey there, sorry. And he was talking about the Lord being control of your life. That's what God wants. That is your destiny, that God is in control of your life. You know, I don't know how long I'm going to live. We never know how long we're going to live. It could be 80 years. It could be 55 years. It doesn't give me much more time. Or it could be 100 years. But it's nothing in comparison to eternity. So if we're trying to save this little life and have good fun down here, you can have fun in God, serving God, and knowing that one day you'll be in the throne room of God and he's going to say, my servant, well done. That is your destiny. That is your destiny. Joshua's destiny was to take God's people into the promised land. And he was not taking them into an easy place, by the way. God promised them, he was giving them the land. God has promised you that he has given you those areas that he has planted you in. No, he has promised you, he's given them to you. It may not be easy and you will meet opposition, but you will see God move in those areas. When Joshua looked at Canaan, he knew the background of what was going on there. They had so many gods, it was unbelievable what they worshipped. They sacrificed children. Their main god was El, and then El was actually known as the creator. His wife, which we know as Asherah, you probably heard before, because we find in Kings, 400 of our prophets were brought to prophesy against God. We know that the king Manasseh brought her pole into God's temple, an idol. A false god was brought into the house of God in our lives. We hold on to things in our lives that we shouldn't be bringing into the house of God. And the house of God is our lives, is our bodies. That is the house of God. This is a gathering place. The house of God, according to the word of God, is us. What have we brought into it to mock God and what God has done for us? And this is what Joshua was up to. All of these gods. Now, they were supposed to be married. They had over 70 god children. Little g. And the main one we all are familiar with, Baal. They were the parents of Baal. Do you remember Baal? Everywhere in scriptures in the Old Testament, we know about him. He was supposed to be over, rule the heavens, rule the earth, rule vegetation, rule fertility. And when God said to Joshua, clear out the land, he knew it was important for the land to be cleared out, because if they didn't, they would adopt these things. And they did adopt them. They would have turned to the God in order to have good crops, but not the God Almighty. And this is one of the lessons we can learn if we're going to fulfill our destiny. That is, we cannot mix the world with our walk with Christ. You either in and you follow. That's what God has asked us to do. What is your destiny? You Your destiny is to walk upright for God. Your service is second to it in what God has called you to do. One of the things that, if you're familiar with Smith Whittle's work, anybody familiar with him? He was a healer, a mighty man of God, moved in the Spirit. Gifts people people just thronged to him to hear from God, to be blessed by God, to be touched by God. But when he was a plumber, he couldn't read until he was 26 years old. He didn't come from an educated background. And when God called him into ministry, he said something to the Lord. He said, "Lord, as long as you provide your Holy Spirit and you provide for me that I can take care of my family, the first time, Lord, that I have to get my shoes healed and I can't afford it, I will go back to being a plumber." He never worked as a plumber again. God provided for him. When I was 20 years old, the Lord called me into ministry. And I didn't come from a very wealthy background at all. My father was a good man, but he was an alcoholic, and all of us understand addiction. He was also a gambler who had a good job and gambled everything. And my mom was used to struggling. And we children were used to taking part-time jobs when we were 12 and 13 to put food on the table, to take care of, there was 11 of us plus my parents, to take care of them. And when God called me into ministry, I didn't want, when I first heard the conviction of the Lord when I was 14, I didn't want to be a Christian. I actually didn't want to be a Christian. Do you know why I didn't want to be a Christian? Because I didn't want to be poor. Because I had been poor and I didn't want it. And I said to the Lord, "No way am I ever." And God convicted me. And God showed me what it was like that I needed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I accepted him. And my life changed for the best. And when I was 20, the Lord said, "Work full time." Now, you're looking at a church here, and you of the new generation of Christians, we first came unto the Lord. There was one Pentecostal Assemblies of God, one Elam, one Apostolic, and a few Brethren churches. We all knew each other way back 40 years ago. We all knew each other. We all knew the Christians. There used to be a joke, if you knew Reggie Fry, if you didn't know Reggie Fry, you weren't a Christian. That's how small the Christian community was. There was no churches. Teen Challenge was just started. There was no churches. And God said, "I want you full time." And I said, I was quite happy to sit in church. I was quite happy to be unnoticed. I was very shy and quiet. That is true. I was actually, believe it or not. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I will serve you as long as my mother never knows want." That I didn't say I wouldn't know want, but that my mother would never know want. And for all the years that I served the Lord, and for 11 years, not that I don't live by faith now, but I am married to a man who has a job, but for 11 years when I lived by faith, complete and utter faith, where there was no church, no salary, I just trusted God. I never spoke that I lived by faith. I never owed rent, electrical bill, food bill, and my mother never knew want. For 11 years, now that's not to say that my husband does, God does not bless him and what he does, but it's a different dimension in what God does. And for 11 years, I did not say I had a need. God provided. You see, when God calls you and you know who you are and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will take care of you. You need to know your destiny. And that is to reach out, to bring the word of God, to bring that power that Vicky was talking about, to see those young people come to the Lord, to see them repent, to see them come and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The second one is this. We need, in order to fulfill our destiny, we need to know the promises of God in our lives. What promises has God made to you? What are the promises that God has made to you to fulfill your destiny? He has made promises to all of us. He's made promises, as I said about Smith Whittle's words, he promised. He promised me, and he took care of them. He made promises to Joshua Look, I think the verse, oh, I think she took them off, but I'll read some of them. These are from the first chapter of Joshua. This is what the promises of God says. In verse 3 it says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. When we go out into Dolphin's Barn or Finglas, God will give us where we set our feet when we're following him and listening to him. Verse 5 says, no one will be able to stand against you but all the days of your life. It also says, I will never leave nor forsake you. These are the promises that God has given to Joshua as he goes into the land. And he's going into a land. They didn't have an absolute army in Canaan. What they had was fortified cities, because people used to run through the land of Canaan when they wanted to go battle. The Egyptians went through Canaan in order to fight other people on the other side. So rather than having an army that was always overrun, they fortified their cities and paid taxes when the other armies went through and used them. Joshua, to take the land, had to conquer not one king, not two kings, which were kings in the cities, not three kings, 31 kings. Joshua had to conquer, because each city had its own king. And it was rare that they combined together, but they did on sometimes they did, because the scripture tells us that. But he had to conquer 31 kings in order to claim to see the destiny being filled for him. And we sit down when numbers dwindle in our churches. We sit down when we have a youth club and the kids absolutely rip it apart. Believe me, I've been in them. I've duck chaired more times than I care to remember. And we sit down and we become discouraged. And we say, God, are you really, did you make a mistake bringing us here? Why can't we see? Because we have the Holy Spirit in our lives and we've set on him. We've allowed our fear. We've allowed our little understanding of the Holy Spirit to dictate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's time we stop that. And it's time we throw open the windows of our lives and say, Holy Spirit, rise up in us because you're there. And let us see the gifts of the Spirit being used in order for God to be glorified and people to come to Christ. God promised he would not forsake them. He promised that he would stand with them. He promised that they would take where he had been called them to. And he promised in verse 13 that he would give them rest. Now, in the Hebrew, rest doesn't mean what we understand, that we sit down and we have coffee and we rest and we recuperate from a battle. Rest here means the security and safety. So when God said he will give them security and safety, they were going into a foreign land with foreign idols. And God was saying, I will give you rest. What he was saying to them and what they heard was, I will give you safety. I will give you security. Has God changed? Has God changed? Are you sure? Has God changed? God has not changed. And what's more, we have the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on and came off, came on and came off. In the New Testament, when we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in our lives, is in our lives. And when we pray that the glory from heaven comes down, we allow the Holy Spirit to rise up within us to meet that glory and blessings that come down from heaven. And we allow the Holy Spirit to operate and to move in our hearts. God's promises to us as Christians. This is what Philippians 4 says to all of us here at Liberties. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches, glory in Jesus Christ. He supplies. Luke 24:49 says, I am going to send you what my Father had promised, but stay in the city until you have clothed with power from on high. Power from on high. Jesus told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem until you have endured with power from on high. A Christian must endure the power to come on you. We are commissioned to fulfill the Great Commission. We are saved for salvation. but we are commissioned to bring it to somebody else. Can you imagine if somebody just sat down after they got saved and never brought the Word of God to you? Never brought the Word of God, never preached the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will come down anyway. But how many of us have sat down and said, let somebody else do it? Let somebody else do the children's club. Let somebody else do the homeless. Let somebody do the pastoral care in the church. Let somebody else do the vacuuming. Let somebody else do up there, which is probably the worst job up there, probably the hardest job, trying to figure out what I'm saying, and at least you don't have words. Do we know the promises of God? He has promised us that he will supply our needs when we fulfill our destiny. He has promised us the Holy Spirit, which we have if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit and we have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it is out of the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how good Noel Kenny is. It doesn't matter how good he is as a speaker. If he did not have the anointing of God, Liberties would not be here. Liberties would not be here. It's not here because of Noel Kenny or Sharon Kenny. It's here because the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has deemed it to be. It is the destiny that God has brought about for this church. And beyond it, we're going to see our nation. I believe we will see our nation. We are living in end times. And we're going to see our nation rise. And we are going to be the light that Christ has called us to be. We are salt. We cannot. Our destiny is not to lose our flavor. Our destiny is not to turn our light out, but to shine it as bright as we can in our communities and in our nation. The promises of God are for all of us here. God has not changed. If you have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those problems of the Holy Spirit are for you. One of the things Joshua had to do was know what God requires. Do you know what God requires of you? It's all very well for you to listen to me and say, God is going to bless you. God is going to send the might of the Holy Spirit on you, and he will. But what's required of you? What's required of you? The only thing free in Christianity is your salvation, which is the greatest gift. Salvation is given to us free. If you want to see the power of God work in your life, if you want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit move in your life, then find out what God requires of you. Find out, because if you look at Maria Etter or Smith Wigglesworth or many other people, they were obedient to God. There is a price. There is price. Yes, God does use the sinful, or he wouldn't use all of us. But there is a price. Joshua says, this is where we all fall down. We want the power. We want people to come to the Lord. We read these great stories that I've read in this Bible and think, Lord, why isn't my life like that? What does it say? What did Joshua have to do in order to take the land? Because it was promised to him. It was there. It was given to him. What do we have to do in order to see the power of the Holy Spirit move in our church? We have it. We have the Holy Spirit. What do we have to do? One of the things that Paul required of Joshua was that he needed to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous, he needed to step out in believing in his God. We need to have our faith in God. Do we believe what God says? Do we believe he can do the things that he said? Do we believe that he can do the promises that he has given to us? We step out then. We believe, we have faith, even if we cannot see. Do you think Joshua looked at the land of Canaan, even though he knew in his heart that God was going to take care of him, and he didn't have fear? He made mistakes. There were times when he was in that land, even though he had victory when he went in, he made mistakes because he stopped looking and stopped seeking the ear of God. When he went to Jericho, we all know the story of Jericho. It was fortified. Do you remember I said all the cities were fortified? They didn't have a national army. Each city fortified itself because that was the only way it could protect itself. So when Joshua listened to God and walked around and around eight times, not seven, but eight times around the wall and it fell, he followed God's instructions. He was obedient to God. When he went to the next city, he was defeated. Did you know that? Ai, he was defeated. Why was he defeated? Because somebody had disobeyed God. One of the things that was given to them going into the land was this. Do not take any spoils. Anything of gold and metal, give it to God's kingdom. Do not take anything. And somebody took what was of God and hid it. And when Joshua sought the Lord, and why were they defeated? God revealed it to that person. And sometimes that's what we do. We wonder why we cannot fulfill the destiny. We cannot take the territory that God has given us. It's because we've hidden things in our lives that are of God, and we have not given them over to God. There was another one where they didn't listen to God. That was the Gideonites. They actually made an agreement. They came and deceived him. They pretended to be from far off, and they were exhausted, and they'd gowned clothes, and they looked at the appearance. As Vicky said, some people looked at the guys from Dremna and said, who are they to be with us? Well, Joshua and his leaders made the same mistake. They made that mistake because they looked at the exhaustion and the tiredness of this city. It was only a few miles down the road, by the way. And in the end, made a treaty with them. And that treaty cost them, because when they were overrun, they had to go out and they had to carry this city and defend this city on top of taking the land. They added more on. They did not seek the Lord. They did not seek the Lord. That's what we need to do. We need to seek the Lord. God doesn't want sacrifice. You can drop your money in the offering on a Sunday morning. It doesn't go to Noel and Sharon. I'm sure they get a salary, but I want to tell you, they wouldn't get rich on it. I don't think they want to be rich anyway. They're rich in God. But I will say to you, it goes for the kingdom of God out there. But God is not interested. If you drop your money here and here Sunday morning and you live like the devil, or you live in control of your life all week, he doesn't want sacrifice. He wants obedience to his word. He wants obedience to his word. Smith Wigglesworth said that when he wasn't preaching or praying or sleeping, he never went more than 15 minutes without consulting the word of God and asking God through his word what he had to say for him. 15 minutes, every 15 minutes he sought the word of God, because the word of God tells us how to live. We don't need prophecies to tell us how to live. It is good to get them to confirm what God has done. What we need is the word of God in our lives. And there are things in our lives that prevent us allowing. We throw them on top of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in your life. And what we do is we throw them on. There are things that God has asked us as Christians to lay down before him that we have not. And God has called each one of us here. If you want to take the destiny that God has for your life and for this church and for our nation, then you need to be obedient. They were called to meditate on the word of God daily, not to be far from the Lord. They were called to be obedient, and they were called not to rebel. Not to rebel. Not to rebel. What is your destiny in God? What are the promises that God has given to you to fulfill that destiny? And what does God require of you? What does he require of you to fulfill that destiny? What is your destiny? To stand upright for Christ, to be that salt, to be that light. What are the promises? He has given you his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and he will not leave us. He will stand with us. What does he require of us? He requires obedience rather than sacrifice. He requires our praise. He requires our spirit to be released, to allow the Holy Spirit to rise up in us. And that's what the Lord wants to say to you today. We were excited about the seven guys in Dremna. We were excited what happened out in Bray. A drop in the bucket for the destiny of what God has for our nation. There's over 5 million people in our country. This city has over 1.5 million people. I live next door to Bray and Greystones. I know how many people live there. I know many people live in Dremna. My husband's from Dremna. I spent 20 years praying for Dremna. No, McFarland's house. I prayed But God would move. It's 30 years later now. And we're seeing what God wants to do. But this is only the beginning. Let's stand up now. Let's rise. Let's throw our arms to heaven. Jesus. And allow the Holy Spirit to well up in you, because he's already there. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is not in you. And if you want to know Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior, then all you have to do is call out to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you and come into your life, and he will send the Holy Spirit to you. For those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for those of us who want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because it is there, we need to let go and let God have his way. Can we have the musicians back? Allow God to move today. Let's not move until we know that something has gone on in our hearts today. Just throw your hands up and let's worship the Lord. Just let the Holy Spirit, if you've never been baptized in the Spirit, this is the day. Come forward. We will lay hands on you and we will pray for you. But if you have been baptized in the Spirit, you have all the gifts. Allow them to be freed in your life. Allow them. You are not worthless. You are Christ's child, and he wants to move on you.